generally, on Thirst World Problems, what we like to do is we like to make what we call Lionel Richie cocktails. These are two ingredients, sometimes three, that are nice and easy to put together. A couple quick pours, and there you go. This week, however, we got into mojitos. So the thing with mojitos is it takes a little bit longer of a process, but it's still one of those basic cocktails that you can have fun with. And the best part is, and you know why I think this is the best part, is it allows for a lot of variation. You can toss in some different fruits. You can try some different syrups. So this week we put together a blueberry mojito, and it is scrumptious. So once again, you want to change it up and use a different type of syrup. So we just added some blueberries to a simple syrup for this one. You could add strawberries. You could add lemon, lime, pineapple, banana if you got crazy with it. There's so much you can do just with the syrup alone, let alone muddling some fresh fruit, which we also kind of got into. So recipe is available on thirstworldproblems.ca. It's also available at Thirst World Problems on IG. And you're going to find a nice little drink video that you can find on our website as well as YouTube. So drink it, share it. Tell people about how you like finding your drinks on Thirst World Problems. And while you're drinking them, why don't you listen to the program? Okay, so this week we got a nice fun interview coming up with a local distillery here in Winnipeg, Capital K. It was a lot of fun. And the best part is you can get all your tasty ingredients for this cocktail from there as well. So remember, drink better and drink responsibly and enjoy yourself with a little bit of a fancier cocktail this summer. All right, take it easy and enjoy your blueberry mojitos. Still don't know why I'm saying it like that.
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Bell coming at you from behind the mic on Thirst World Problems, and today we got a special treat for you. We are joined by Lindsay Galanders, and she is ranked number 39 in North America as a sushi chef that only uses swordfish. Did I get that right, Lindsay?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, Lindsay works for Capital K Distillery, and that's why we definitely wanted to have her on. As we know, we enjoy a good drink, and why not talk to an expert? So, Lindsay, could you just tell us a little bit about, I guess, your journey there with Capital K?
I literally just got confused there for a second. Sorry to interrupt. I was like, wait, what? I thought we were interviewing Lindsay from Capital K, but okay. A little slow. It's been a long day. A little slow. Sorry, Lindsay.
I can't cook. So, I mean, sashimi-based foods would probably be my forte. You know, you just kind of cut it up and serve it, but, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. So, continue on. I kind of cut that out there, but continue.
No, it's totally good. So, I was brought on board around 2016, just before we launched our first product, which was the Tallgrass Vodka. I had a friend, Lindy Norris, who was working with Jason, who's our owner and distiller, on a business plan and just some stuff. And Jason is a fantastic guy. He's a fantastic distiller. He really kind of knows that side of the business, but he was absolutely out to lunch when it came to marketing and that kind of stuff. Just helpless. So brought me on, and I've been part of the journey since.
So when it comes to doing marketing, it's the goal for the company. Where do you guys begin on that?
To exist. It's been such a slog. You know, we were the first craft distillery in Manitoba. There's obviously a few more that are popping up. Patent 5 is up and running. But it was really tough and just, you know, one step forward and 22 steps back, it seemed. So to this point, you know, there's finally been a few regulatory changes that have allowed us to actually make money and to exist, because the margins were just ridiculous. We can talk a little bit about that if you want. But it was to exist and to make people aware that we're here and that we have product with no money. So kind of just trying to rub sticks together and make whatever we could happen. So kind of coming to the end of that, we've got a little bit more to play with, but that has been the goal up till now. And now we can kind of hit our stride and really kind of tell people what we're about.
Okay. So you mentioned some of the, I guess, regulatory changes that came about. So what were some of the, I guess, the biggest ones that affected you guys or helped you guys, I should say, change things up a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm not an expert on this. So it's kind of second and third hand information coming at me. But basically, what happened was when we launched, the last provincial government had promised sort of a program where it was, I think it was $250,000 loan for distillery startups. It might have been just kind of booze startups across the board to help with marketing costs. So when Jason's business plan was put together, that $250,000 was in the business plan for marketing. And everybody knows that marketing is super, super expensive. We can do a lot on a little these days, but generally when you're the first and we were the first, it's going to cost some money. And unfortunately, before we were able to tap into that program, there was an election and that program was canceled, which just kind of left us adrift. And the regulations were such that we didn't make any more money if the product was sold in our building versus MLCC. And even then, I think it was an 85% tax. I could be wrong. But so on a $40 bottle of booze, Jason was bringing home 15% of that. So that was $6. And that was, wow. I believe, yeah, that was before grain. That was before he paid the rent. That was before all of this stuff. So the volume that you have to sell to stay alive, and then to not have that marketing budget, that was,
it was just insane.
It was insane. Yeah. So we've basically limped and scraped and gotten to the point where we're at. People have been so fantastic. But finally the laws changed. I believe it was in January, where first they said, okay, well, if you sell it in your building, we're not going to tax it, or we're going to tax it super low. So you make the majority of what you sell that bottle for in your facility. Cool. The problem is we're way out by the airport. Nobody's making a trip to Dublin Avenue to buy liquor. Now they've come back and said, okay, cool. You can sell it in your building. And you know, you can still make the money. You can sell it at a market and you can still make all that money. And we're going to reduce, tax at MLCC as well. So I believe now it's only a 50% tax when it's sold at Liquor Mart. So those margins give us some breathing room and finally get us to make money and pay off. I don't know where Jason has found money for the last 4 years, but pay off all those people and finally kind of hit our stride and move forward.
Like how does one like just not give up on that? Like a lot of people would just give up knowing the fact that you're only making like $15 after all that. And you're, you know, it's, that's will right there. That's the only way I can say it. That's just literally will, just determination just to get things done. That's crazy.
And a little stupidity, I think.
That too, and a little craziness. Yeah, throw that in craziness. There too. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's been a ride. But, you know, Jason's just really passionate about the project, and we all are, the whole team. We really, really are. We are really pro-local and pro-putting Winnipeg on the map for as many things as we can. And, you know, and look, you stick with it long enough, and you finally, hopefully, you come out on the other side. So that's where we're at today.
Are you guys, like, doing collaborations with other smaller distilleries? Like, are you helping those types of people that want to put their own bottles out, or is it just you guys completely doing it?
We would love to. We've got a cooler collab with Fort Garry Brewing, and it's been so popular. Basically, we give them gin, they mix it with there's a prairie cherry and a prairie pear. The cherries have been popular, but the pears have been, oh, I can't eat, like, you can't get them. I work for the distillery and I haven't had one all summer because they hit MLCC and they're gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been trying to get my hands on some as well, but if you're not getting them, good luck.
No, and I post about it on social media and within 30 seconds, people are already mad at me because they check the MLCC website and they're gone. So by the time I hear about it, it's already too late. But yeah, so that's been really successful for us. Hopefully we'd like to do more in the future. We, back in the day, we approached the guy who owned Pick a Pop about doing a cooler collaboration. Yeah, that didn't really go anywhere. He wasn't really that interested, as far as I remember, but always open to doing things in the future, as long as it kind of supports our, you know, super kind of local focus. We also create the spirits for Baltic Brothers. They're fantastic. Got a couple of spirits out there and that's us. That's making them for them or with them. We're just kind of white labeling it for them, but that's us. So hopefully there'll be more stuff like that comes along, because there's definitely room in the marketplace for tons and tons of local stuff.
Well, I think you've got Nick's ears peaked up right there when you said local collab. So you're in.
What are we going to make, Nick?
Oh, that's a good idea. Like, we should like maybe something with a little peach in it. How's that?
Ooh. Yeah, that works for me.
Let's do it. Okay.
Yeah.
So Lindsay, working
at local peaches. Sorry.
Let's do it. Yeah.
There you go. Eh? But working at the distillery, then what's your personal favorite?
Oh, that's tough.
You have to know that question was coming.
I love our Tallgrass Dill Pickle Vodka. I love a dirty martini. And one day I was out of vodka and I was like, let's use this. And it was so good. It's delicious. So I use it in Caesars and also dirty martinis. I love our gin. It's the best gin. I'm completely biased, but it's just absolutely fantastic. And the Tallgrass strawberry rhubarb is kind of my go-to for summer. Clearly I drink too much.
No, like your guys' gin is just phenomenal. And like we use it all the time. It's like, that's probably one of my favorite gins to have. Just then the fact that it's just local just makes things even sweeter. Right. So.
And it's just not typical. Like it's not your typical London dry gin. It's just something a little different. Yeah.
And how is the pickle one? What does that taste like? I'm kind of like hesitant, but if you can convince me, I will do it.
It's so good. We actually just were almost sold out. MLCC had very little. We didn't have any at the distillery because we couldn't get local dill. Jason's really passionate about using local ingredients whenever possible. So it wasn't dill season and we had run out of dill from the previous dill season. But basically he takes our Tallgrass Dill Pickle Vodka and then he soaks local dill weed, which is the big dill, not like the little dill. So it's got tons and tons of flavor, horseradish, black peppercorns, and cucumbers. And he lets it sit. So lots of the dill pickle vodkas out there have vinegar and actually pickle juice in it, but we didn't want to do that. We wanted to make the vodka really sing and kind of bring those pickle flavors. So when you put it in Caesars or Bloody Marys or a dirty martini, in my case, it's just, it's so fresh. It's so fantastic.
What about things like awards? Are you guys looking towards something like that just to get some sort of, on the map? Cause I know some distilleries that we've spoken to, like they're all about awards, but are you guys just more about just putting, the product out there or like what's going on with that?
No, we've done really well at the Canadian craft spirit distilling awards, Canadian, something like that.
Something like that.
I can look it up if you want, but we've done really, really good. A lot of our products have placed, I think it was our gin that placed particularly well and won best overall or gold medal plus honors or something. I think it was last year, 2 years ago. We won Great Manitoba Food Fight with the dill pickle vodka a few years back. So getting it out there, getting it into as many hands as we can, for sure. Definitely something, and it's been performing really, really well. So
not bad. So now that you guys seem to have unique flavors, because I think you guys also did like a pumpkin spice rum.
But, yeah.
Okay, so that's. Do you guys have anything else coming down that you guys are working on that you could tell us about? Or
we have a Manitoba moonshine product that's going to be launching soon. We're kind of, it's hard because we've kind of got two product lines right now. We've got the Tallgrass line, which is our 100% craft, hyper local, kind of the shining star of what we do. And then WPG vodka, that's us as well. So that's just a really affordable, clean, premium drinking vodka. But we kind of want to come up with a bit of a segment that's sort of in between, somewhere where we can kind of play with some flavors and see if people like it. So it's not a $40 bottle. It's not a $20 bottle, but it's something that's like maybe slightly elevated, but at a price point that's maybe a little bit more, this looks interesting. I'll grab this, and not the $40 commitment. So playing around, maybe some stuff for some markets this year. COVID kind of flipped everything on its head. So we'll see if there's been talk. One of the girls who coordinates our tasting team, she's been screaming about a lemon gin for years. So maybe we'll get a lemon gin. We've talked about a gingerbread rum for Christmas. We've talked about a cranberry vodka. So there's some ideas that are floating around. I'd love to see a Saskatoon or a Manitoba blueberry, but there's some issues with, I guess they've got like a tough skin. So Jason's got to figure out how to mash them. But yeah, I don't know. We're so small and we're so agile that literally I'll just be like, we should make a pumpkin spice rum. And then 3 weeks later we have a pumpkin spice rum. So, we'll see.
When you guys put out some of these, unique flavors, like how big of a run are you doing? Is it 500 bottles? Is it less?
You know, that's a good question. I often don't know because it's popular and then Jason makes more. You know, the tall grass, the strawberry rhubarb was meant to be a really small run and then it did really well. So Jason just made more and I'm not quite sure where one ended and the other one began. Same with the pumpkin spice. It did really well. So we made some more. I'm trying to convince Jason to make much smaller runs of things. You know, so say we're doing like Third and Bird Market and we've got 100 bottles of X, come get them. The problem is your costs go up, right? Because you're doing a small run of labels. You've got the graphic design time. You've got all of the time that goes into making that small run. So hopefully we can start doing some really small runs of stuff. I'd love to do custom things. You know, people are getting married and they want a custom thing to give away as a gift, a flask of X for, but again, you know, that's just kind of capacity and kind of trying to figure out those costs. So we'll see.
What about like, I know like a few family members of mine love, it's not even about the gin sometimes. I think it's just the look of it. I think a lot of like they like colorful things. What about like just infuse like purples with gin and, you know, just something along those lines. Like I know I see you guys have like a strawberry, what is it called? The strawberry vodka that you guys have, the tall grass?
The strawberry rhubarb, yeah.
The rhubarb, yeah. So, like, things like that. Are you guys going to be looking into doing more of like that? Or is it more flavors? Or is it just more, like, local flavors that you feel that would represent you guys well?
Yeah, so we don't use any artificial flavors. Everything's infused. Gotcha. So, when we see strawberry rhubarb, we go out, local Manitoba strawberries, local Manitoba rhubarb, and we soak it in the vodka to get the flavor. So when we talk about a lemon gin, it's kind of straying a little bit from that, which we're totally okay with doing. It just hasn't been something that we've done. Obviously, we're not getting local Manitoba peppercorns.
Right.
You know, so we do like, you know, we do what we can do. But yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit. And keeping it Manitoba, I think, is really somewhat important to us, kind of at least trying to give it that local spin. But who knows, coming up, you know, colorful things. I saw that Absolute has a juice line, they call it, where it's vodka.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at. It's like a juice line that, yeah. So I was trying to figure out what that actually was, but it's just, it seems like it's such a experiment that's happening. Is it actually juice or is it just...
I think it's smart marketing. I don't know. I didn't really look into it, but I do like that idea. You know, we struggle because when somebody hears strawberry rhubarb vodka, they think that it's artificial flavor. So I do think that juice word, that's a really smart word. And so we're talking about maybe, you know, kind of rebranding some of the stuff we've got, making it a little clearer, switching our espresso vodka, for example, to a cold brew vodka, because that's essentially what it is. And kind of just really, now that we've got some money and kind of really drilling down and perfecting the marketing, because it was all about cheap.
Fair enough.
And so now really making sure things look and sound the way that we want them to going forward and then kind of expanding the line after that, I think.
Well, like you can do like a, you know, a mango juice vodka.
Yeah. If you can find me some local mangoes, I'd be super into that.
I'm actually on it. Right after this, I'm actually going to be right on it.
Perfect. I actually have a friend who's grows lemons in his living room, so everything's possible.
100%. I'm gonna start growing mangoes in the back.
I'm coming over. That sounds great
for sure.
So you kind of mentioned earlier, like, I can't get over the fact that like Nick's gonna have a mango tree just growing somewhere in his basement. So that's gonna be slick. But you mentioned earlier that certain stuff are sold through the LC and then certain stuff are sold at the distillery. So what are some of the unique bottles that we could get down at the distillery as opposed to going to the LC?
Oh man, now you're gonna put me on the spot. So right now there's a lot available at the distillery. A lot at the LC. They're gonna switch that up and stop carrying a few of our products. Not because they're not selling well, but just it's kind of a personal decision for us. We want to really push a few products through them and focus our marketing on that. So the Tallgrass Dill Pickle and the gin and the vodka will obviously stick around. And then on the WPG side, we'll have that as well. But we'd really like to start bringing more people into the distillery and teaching them about what we do. So the strawberry rhubarb will become a distillery exclusive. The espresso vodka will as well. I'm not sure about all of our rums and ryes. Those ones are question marks. I don't know. Jason would know that, but, we've got an oaked rye, we've got a white rye, oaked rum, And I believe that most of those will also just be in the distillery as well. So really giving people the opportunity to come, and, you know, we can offer some deals and some discounts and some special pricing for people when they come down to kind of offset the fact that they're driving kind of in the middle of nowhere. But it's worth a trip to see the operation and to meet everybody.
And you guys are also doing cocktail classes. Is that right?
They have been so popular for us. Yeah, it's been awesome.
What's exactly, what exactly happens in these classes? Is it just a specific drink that, or you guys are just doing like what goes on? Like, I've never experienced this before. Maybe that's something great. That I can do.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have any bartending experience, they're fantastic. Or if you do and you just like cocktails, they're great. but we have a fantastic bartender who leads the class through making of 4 cocktails. Some of them are really basic, like a Caesar. Sometimes they're really a little bit more, you know, we've got an old fashioned. I'd like to get to the point where we're lighting things on fire. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, some really cool stuff. But it comes with a distillery tour, and you learn a lot about the spirits, how we make the spirits, the different, you know, rye versus wheat distilled spirits and kind of all those tastes and stuff. It's just so fun. People do them for bachelorette parties or bachelor parties. We've done larger ones for corporate kind of events. But yeah, shutting them down for COVID was just really, really sad. We had a sold out run of classes that we had to cancel. People were pretty bummed.
Oh. That's devastating. Yeah. Like you were mentioning, like you do bottles for like weddings, etc. What's a limit for something like that? What do you guys normally expect?
We haven't done them yet, but we would like to do them. We were talking about, you know, corporate gifts. Like if a company comes and they say, you know, we want 100X, you know, you guys were doing for 100 clients or 100 people or whatever, come and meet with us. It's not something that we've done in the past, but we're pretty agile. And I think it's something, you know, if the pricing was there and the quantities were sort of in line and capacity wise with production, I think it would be something that we'd be open to, and definitely something I'd like us to incorporate into the business down the line.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Just, you know, just even good for promotion too, right? And just bringing it out there and telling them, hey, this is all local. So.
Yeah. Or a custom label, you know, even if it's one of our existing products and we do a custom label, it's the fun thing about being a small business and about, you know, I'm not full-time at the distillery. Our designer's not full-time, but we've got the capacity to do these fun things, and we like to mix it up and we like to keep it fresh. So who knows what the future holds.
Now what's something that, like you mentioned the espresso vodka. Now that's something like I've been kind of really looking into. What's something with the espresso vodka that you would see would be very popular? And when does someone drink an espresso vodka? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is that more of like a brunch on a day off, or is that more of just like, hey, I gotta stay up, I don't want coffee. What do I do here?
Like, I think Nick's looking for a recipe here. I think,
yeah, why do you have to choose? It can be all of the above. Yeah. So basically we just take our vodka and we take DeLuca's espresso. So it's just fantastic, beautiful, rich, dark coffee, and we soak it. And the result is basically a cold brew vodka. There's no heat that's added. It's just all nature doing its wonderfulness. I love it just in hot chocolate, especially in the wintertime. You come in from outside, it's mostly vodka, a little bit of hot chocolate. It's delicious. You can make an adult kind of iced coffee. A little bit of milk, simple syrup, lots of ice. You can
strain
pretty much drink
it. Do you have to strain it at all?
No.
No?
Strain? No. The espresso's gone. We do all the straining and the whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So just pour and go. But it's fantastic. I think it is one of our most underrated products. It's just so incredibly, incredibly good. But yeah.
That's so tough because it's like, what do you expect out of it? Are you expecting the alcohol getting you, or are you expecting that, you know, caffeine to hit you, or is it just a little bit of both and you're just, there goes, you know, I'm going to be doing this all day then, right?
It's the ultimate party beverage. You start with it and you end with it.
And what time you guys open till today? I might go get some.
Come on.
Yeah.
Down.
I think one of the cool things about this is it's just like the variety that you can get on here. So, you know, when you're looking at something like a dill pickle vodka Caesar, I think like that's just something that you want to try, right? Because I know you like to try tons of drinks, but like, I think just expanding the horizons even more, you don't even think about making something like that, right? The fact that that's there and like makes you want to get some more, no?
Oh, well, that's it. I mean, and that's why I love talking to some of these distilleries, is simply because you get those unique flavors. And when I won't lie, when I first saw that you guys had rum, Lindsay, that kind of took me by surprise. I'd had the spice rum or the pumpkin spice one before, but I thought it was just a holiday run kind of thing. But I saw you guys have some other ones that you mentioned. I think it was the oak barrel. And it was just interesting that the different unique flavors that you have. It's not like you guys are trying to stay really in one lane. It's really, I guess, like almost like the flavor of the experience base that you guys are really going for. It seems like, as opposed to some of the other distilleries that are, I guess, trying to be dominant, I guess, in kind of like one lane. Like, we are the distillery that does rye, or we are the one that does gin. It seems like you guys are more flavor based, which seems to be quite interesting. Like, yeah, Nick's right. I love tinkering around and seeing what kind of cocktails we can make out of some of these things, and got some interesting flavors.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, I mean, going kind of back to the marketing struggle that we had, every time we launched a new flavor, Liquor Mart bought some. So one of our strategies to keep the lights on were to just kind of come up with as many different things that we could possibly do to keep selling flavor, to keep selling booze, and to increase our shelf space. So when you went in, you saw Tallgrass, and it wasn't just one sad product. There was a wall of bright colored labels that were staring at you, and it was harder to ignore. So that kind of pushed us a little bit. We were really lucky. You know, some of the products that we developed never hit the shelves. We had like a toasted nuts at one point that was just weird, and just all kinds of stuff. But, you know, you can test them in really small quantities and kind of figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I think that's sort of what has inspired us to be more industrious, or not more industrious, but to not necessarily be so niche, and to kind of play. And I think that's also just Jason. He's always upwards and onwards onto the next thing. You know, create something, it wins an amazing award. Don't dwell. Don't sit there and say, pat yourself on the back and go, oh, our gin is the best. No, see what else you can make that's the best. And just kind of keep expanding. So, yeah.
All right. Well, you've been super positive this whole time. So now we're going to kind of flip that around, because why not? What's the worst thing that you have or experience that you've had working at the distillery so far?
Oh my gosh, that's tough. Jason, I'm going to throw him under the bus, but he dropped a whole bunch of vodka once and basically cleaned the floor of the distillery with like $10,000 worth of vodka. That wasn't good.
He was carrying $10,000 worth of vodka?
You know, something like that. Maybe not 10,000, but it was a lot of vodka.
Really big arms?
No, it was on a forklift.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he's not that strong. He's not strong at all. That was kind of whatever. And then COVID was wacky. I mean, we were selling we switched to sanitizer production, and we had a lineup out the door of people who were working one-on-one with the public, lots of transit drivers and taxi drivers and first responders. And I was somehow got elected to do the retail sales, and we didn't know what this was going to look like. Right. It was kind of the first wave, and it was crazy. And we didn't know if we were all going to get sick. And it was like that Matt Damon movie where Gwyneth Paltrow dies. And so I was just kind of behind a counter, like just trying to sanitize. And it was weird. That wasn't great, but it's been really positive. It's a great group of people. We have tons of fun, dysfunctional, like a family sometimes, but yeah, I don't know. Not a lot of negative experiences.
Oh, well, that's great.
Are you guys still doing the sanitizing?
We are. Yeah, we're not. Yeah. I don't think we're producing anymore, but we've got cases left over. But it was nuts. Like, we had orders for like 50,000 bottles from prisons. Like, it was just crazy. We could no way we could ever. If we left the sanitizer machine on all night long, we could not have produced what was needed. So we've definitely still got some if people are in need in Winnipeg. Yeah.
You think that was more of just like being like people being a little bit more paranoid, or do you think it was just such a need that people were just cleaning house? Cause I know like there's times where I've gone to like a store and you see a one person taking so many, which like there's no need for it. We should be sharing it with them, but no one's like that, right? We all for kind of ourselves. But when you were doing it, like, did you feel like it was such a need that needed to be out so much, or do you feel like, hey, if I just gave two to everyone, we'd been okay?
We did that. We had a few Karens who were trying to, you know, buy their stacks of sanitizer and live in their sanitizer castle. And eventually we just kind of set up one bottle per day because, you know, there was a lot of, you know, guys who were driving cabs and you don't want to turn them away. You want them to be safe. Karen doesn't get to live in her sanitizer castle while this guy's out there risking his life every day, or a woman out there risking their life every day, because we didn't know what it was going to turn into. Mm. But, you know, we like to think that maybe part of the reason why it didn't get so crazy in Manitoba, knock on wood, was because we were doing this and because people had access to sanitizer and they could stay clean and stay safe. So I don't know if there's any merit to it, but we would like to give ourselves just a teeny tiny bit of credit because we don't get a lot of credit. So I'm awarding us just a sliver.
So that's awesome. Lindsay, you have a dream job. You work at a distillery. You get to taste all kinds of crazy new flavors. You get to deal with the public all the time too. So you probably get paid. You get to hear that first frontline experience kind of thing where people are just praising the product. So what's one of the most memorable experience you have working at Capital K?
Oh my gosh, that's tough. You know, honestly, this is such a cop-out, such a lame answer, but anytime somebody new comes into the distillery and just kind of sees the whole thing and, you know, the tour, like, it's amazing. I can remember the first time I kind of, Jason explained to me how it starts as wheat and it leaves as vodka. And it's just incredible. And people get really interested in the science of it, which is bizarre. And Jason kind of turns into this like Bill Nye. He's like the Chinese Bill Nye for a minute and just kind of blowing people's minds. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's awesome. And then, you know, people are so amazed that Winnipeg, that they're tasting gin that's from Winnipeg, this little city that I think we forget, you know, we forget how awesome it is and how many great things are doing here. So, or are happening here. So I don't know. I mean, every time we get a member of the media or a member of, you know, Ace Burpee loves our stuff or, you know, somebody like that, and there's just somebody who meets a lot of people and does a lot of cool stuff and is still really impressed by what we're doing. Mayor Brian Bowman loves our stuff. It's just, yeah, we had a Twitter exchange where he said that mayoring requires martinis. So that was good. But it's just, you know, watching people just kind of be amazed by what we're doing and watching Jason get the credit and the recognition that he deserves is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. What's going on for Q3 and Q4? Is it more just like a recovery state of just kind of push forward, or are you guys planning something new and exciting that you guys were kind of waiting for a while, or
kind of all of the above, really? I mean, getting our feet back under us and going again, like, we weren't producing any of our products for months. So Tallgrass Dill Pickle, we're way behind on orders for it. People love it and they can't get it right now. So we're making sure that we get as much dill as we possibly can to keep that product in stock until the next dill season. And then just kind of talking, we've got a product, Manitoba Moonshine, which is a white rye, which we'll be launching sort of in that middle segment that I talked about. That'll be coming hopefully in September. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, we had a plan. It's not the plan anymore. but just, we'll be at lots of markets and continue pushing that. Hopefully we'll be back at Third and Bird, which is a huge one for us, in December, and just as many local markets and getting in front of as many people as we possibly can. So,
yeah. And all the best to that. We're definitely going to come down and, you know, just support. And it's going to be, it'll be pretty cool. Maybe even take those classes whenever it's available.
Have you guys been to the distillery?
No, we haven't had a chance.
I've never been to the distillery. No, we've never been there.
Oh my gosh. Well, whenever you want to come, just shoot me an email or a text or whatever. We'd love to have you. It's fabulous. Fantastic.
Yeah, for definitely, for sure. Bell?
Yeah, no, that sounds like, sounds like a great time, man.
Look at the smile on Bell's face, just hidden behind it.
I can throw my sashimi chef skills out there, you know, maybe make some swordfish for everybody.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like some Wagyu steak and stuff like that.
No.
I'm in.
Best you guys will get for me is some cheesies, probably.
I'll take it.
Great drinking snack. One thing I wanted to clarify here, because you mentioned the Winnipeg vodka that you do. Is that the same as 204 vodka?
It is not the same as 204 vodka. No, similar kind of market segment, but that's not us. 204 is a different company. We are the WPG vodka. Maybe soon to expand on that. We're just a straight vodka product right now, maybe expanding in the future, but just sort of a need in the market we saw and jumped on. And yeah, just kind of sits there and exists, and we make it sometimes. People like it.
What do you mean by just like expanding? Like, what are you...
So basically, back when we didn't know what was going on, you know, when we weren't making any money and we were kind of trying to come up with a survival strategy, coming up with a really well-priced vodka was a good way for us to kind of hit that casual drinker segment. You know, people that don't want to buy a $40 bottle of vodka, but still want to support local. And 204 was out there and they were doing it. But we thought, hey, I mean, if Alberta Pure is still the number one selling vodka in Manitoba, surely we can take a little bit of their market share. So we launched WPG sort of as a reaction to like, hey, let's keep the lights on while we kind of figure out how to keep this going long term. And then everything changed. So again, our whole business strategy has changed 90 times since 2016. So, but we're not going to stop. I mean, people love it. It's a fantastic product. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but for $22.99, I have no idea how it tastes as good as it tastes. It's delicious. Yeah, it's in my cupboard all the time. So yeah, it's just sort of something that happened and we're going to keep it going. And maybe at some point we'll expand that line. Maybe we won't, but it stands on its own. It's a really good product.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there any of your products that aren't in your cupboard?
No, actually, yeah, I am out of a couple right now, but I will just go and restock soon. But I'm all about the strawberry rhubarb right now. You just a little soda water, a little 7-Up, and it's just, I keep telling people it's summer in a glass, but it is summer in a glass. It's so good.
That is definitely on the list there.
Yeah, you gotta. And it's just easy. Like you add ice and pretty much whatever you have. It's great with citrus. It's good with orange juice. It's just good with everything. It's really good.
So how strong of a pour is it though?
Oh, very, yeah. We're not like friends in real life, but pretty strong. I pour a drink. I'm of Russian, German, Irish descent, so I can pour a drink.
So half a glass it is.
Yeah, half a glass of vodka, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's before ice.
Yeah, that's before ice.
Yeah, but they are, I mean, you know, we joke, but they are like, you can sip our stuff. It's sweet. That wheat distilled vodka is just sweet and delicious. So with that as a base, you add some fruit and it's just, it's not sweet like you'd think of like a traditional flavored vodka, but it's smooth and it's delicious.
And that's all alcohol should be, right? It shouldn't be just, you know, bombarded with a lot of mixing. It should just be like a tad bit of just a hint of the flavors and that way you can enjoy the actual drink that it is, right?
And chemicals. Why would there be chemicals when you can add nature's delicious flavors without adding all that stuff? So
you hear that, Belle? Stop mixing lots of drinks here and there when you can enjoy the actual drink. You're just wasting it.
This guy's giving me a hard time. I'm a fan of tiki drinks and I don't mind mixing in with the juices. But yeah, I gotcha. Hey, I'm drinking something pure right now. So, you know, change it up.
I wish. Can we start a Winnipeg tiki bar? Because that's kind of my dream.
See, Lindsay's on my side now, Nick. How do you think about that?
Wait till Lindsay tries this gin infused mango. I'm telling you, we're gonna she'll come back on my team. I'm telling you right now.
As long as we serve it in a pineapple, so I'm kinda like a little column A, column B.
Yeah. It's gotta be served in like an artificial like fruit. So like something maybe pineapple-ish to make it give you that vibe. I think we got this.
In. I'm 100% in.
Done.
No, I'll invest.
All right.
Look at that. I already won it over. Let's do this. That was my pitch. Just the plastic pineapple.
Or won everyone a over glass here. Pineapple
doesn't
bottle.
Take much.
Huh? all right, Lindsay. We're going to end our friendship here. We've got a segment that we call the gauntlet. Okay. So we're just going to ask you a bunch of rapid fire questions. It's the first thing that comes to mind. If you take long to answer a question, we are not going to edit out the pause. So.
Do you want like one word, like dog, cat, or like sentences?
Hey, you're going to have to figure it out as we go here.
Oh, okay.
So it's nice and easy one to start. What was one of your favorite movies growing up?
Jumanji.
Nice.
What was your favorite shot?
Vodka.
What's the best Christmas gift you've ever given someone?
Oh, I don't know. I give epic gifts. I don't know. That sounded horrible. I give gifts.
Yeah. I don't know. I give epic gifts.
Clues from Capital K.
What's a movie line you'll never forget?
Oh, I was just watching Speed before we started this, and I can't repeat it, but there's a great line where Keanu Reeves is, anyways, he's under the bus and whatever. Yeah.
Wait.
Can I curse in your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The podcast,
no, not radio.
It's all right. It's all right. Yeah. But you can tell
we
us.
Get it.
Yeah. You can tell us who your celebrity crush was or is.
Keanu Reeves.
Still?
Come on, man. That was a given. Yeah.
I'm watching Speed for the 27th time. Keanu Reeves, for sure. Bill think and about Ted that, 3?
Bell. Yeah. Bell, think about that. It's July something, 2020, and she's watching Speed. What do you think is the answer for that?
I thought it was one of those, you're still at the cabin, like you still have a VHS, and this is the only movie that you have.
No, it's on TV. I'm choosing to watch it.
VHS/DVD combo.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the most exotic thing you've ever eaten in your life?
Crickets.
Oh, where'd you do Whoa. That?
Thailand.
Of course. Yeah. See?
Yeah. I was sober. Actually, I was sober, which I look back on it. They're weird. They're nutty. They're strange. I probably won't do it again.
You say you were in Thailand and you were sober?
What? No, Thailand. Yeah, I was sober. It was like morning. I think I ate one. I don't think I ate more than one. They were roasted and like on a stick.
And this was early in the morning?
Yeah, before lunch.
And that didn't, that was, so it was brunch. So that didn't ruin your day. That was just, you just went on.
Well. Yeah, just seemed like the thing to do.
Oh, I don't even know how this question got on here. What's the craziest thing you've ever done in Thailand?
Oh, I got roofied. That's a true story. Nothing happened to me, but I did get to spend 48 hours hooked up to an IV in a random hospital, just full of drunken tourists. And yeah, so
that's pretty scary.
Good story, bad story. Yeah. No, I mean, yes, it could have been really scary. It wasn't really scary. Now it's just kind of my best worst travel story, but yeah.
Your friends took care of you, or did you realize that and you kind of got to the hospital beforehand, or?
My friend Mandy, I was traveling with her. She found me in our hotel room and I was just a mess. And I'd had one gin on the beach. Like we had just gotten to the party and I disappeared, and she fireman carried me to this little hospital. And this doctor was like, yeah, but he did say, that my kidneys and livers function really well because I was doing fantastically. So I don't know if it was years of being a bartender that trained me for my roofing or if I'm just a genetic freak, but yeah. It was kind of the hangover-ish. Not quite that bad, but yeah.
Was it the same day
you had it's the German combo, Irish combo. I forget what you said. But yeah.
It's my genetics, 100%. I was born for this challenge. Yep.
Was that the same day you had the crickets? Was it maybe inside the crickets?
It could have been. Maybe it was poison crickets. Who knows?
If you were transformed into the opposite sex, what would your name be?
Not Brad or Chad. I was going to be a Christopher Kyle if I was born. So I'll be Christopher. Buzz boy.
All right. We'll get you out on this easy one. What's the best type of cheese?
Oh, I love cheese. There is no best type of cheese. The best type of cheese is just cheese. A blue cheese of some sort. Yeah. I just love cheese.
You lost me on that one. Blue cheese.
Oh, the stinkier the better.
Oh my goodness.
Serious? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, as long as there's no blue cheese down on the tour, we will definitely come and visit you at
You don't want to try our new blue cheese gin?
No. Oh my goodness.
No.
I would probably try it. I'd probably try it, yeah.
Well, Lindsay, it was tons of fun having you on. Thanks so much for coming down. Well, not coming down since we're doing this via Zoom, but thanks for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about the distillery. Where can people find your products? Where can we follow you guys, hear what's coming up next, and stay on top of the Capital K news?
Yeah, so we're CapitalKDistillery.com or WPGVodka.com, depending on the product that you want. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, either Tallgrass Spirits, WPGVodka, or Capital K Distillery. You got to work to find us. We were transitioning, and then we're not, and it's a big thing. So but find us. Products are at Manitoba Liquor Mart stores or at the distillery, which is 1680 Dublin Avenue in Winnipeg. And we'll also be at lots of local markets all across well, mostly just in Winnipeg. We were planning on doing some out of town, but COVID. So kind of around the Winnipeg area. But if you need to find us, just shoot us a message, find us on social media, and we will let you know where we're going to be.
Awesome. Fantastic. Awesome. Well, thanks again so much. And yeah, we will talk to you soon, because I think Nick's dying to get down there and get some dill pickle vodka at him. So, or the espresso. No,
yeah. Look forward to having you guys. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Okay. No, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.